follower. Translation. This child will be like Bali Maharaj in patience, a staunch devotee of Lord Krishna like Prahlad Maharaj, a performer of many Ashwamedha horse sacrifices, and a follower of the old and experienced man. Purport. Bali Maharaj, one of the 12 authorities in the devotional service of the Lord. Bali Maharaj is a great authority in devotional service because he sacrificed everything to please the Lord and relinquished the connection of his so-called spiritual master who obstructed him on the path of risking everything for the service of the Lord. The highest perfection of religious life is to attain the stage of unqualified devotional service of the Lord without any cause or without being obstructed by any kind of worldly obligation. Bali Maharaj was determined to give up everything for the satisfaction of the Lord, and he did not care for any obstruction whatsoever. He is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, another authority in the devotional service of the Lord. Bali Maharaj and the history of his dealings with Vishnu Vamana Dev are described in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 11 to 24. Prahlad Maharaj, a perfect devotee of Lord Krishna, Vishnu, his father, Hiranyakasipu, chastised him severely when he was only 5 years old for his becoming an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. He was the first son of Hiranyakasipu, and his mother's name was Kayadu. Prahlad Maharaj was an authority in the devotional service of the Lord because he had his father killed by Lord Nisringadev. Excuse me. what a transcendental way of looking at it. Setting the example that even a father should be removed from the path of devotional service if such a father happens to be an obstacle. He had four sons, and the eldest son, Virochana, is the father of Bali Maharaj, mentioned above. The history of Prahlad Maharaj's activities is described in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyanandana Salakya Shakshura Militam Yanatta Smai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunichananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. How nice was the culture where Maharaj Pariksit was about to appear. How nice was that culture that at his birth there were great and powerful astrologers who were able to fully understand what he was to become. And we see how he was to be a great personality, like other great personalities, such as Bali Maharaj and such as Prahlad. And we see in Bali Maharaj that he sacrificed everything. He sacrificed the three worlds. He was the ruler of the three worlds. And his spiritual master explained to him, you know, this little brahmana has asked you for 3 steps of land. Now, you won't be able to give 3 steps because he will become very big, and with 2 steps he'll take everything. Then you will have caused a great offense. You understand this? You have caused a great offense, and for this you will go to hell. And therefore, considering it, it's better, it's really better you don't give to avoid the offense. Bali Maharaj was not concerned because he was in the spirit of a Vaishnava. Swarga apavarga naraka isu apituliyarta darsina, hell, heaven, whatever. Whatever may come upon me, but I will act in the service of the Lord. I will do whatever is faithful for the service of the Lord, not calculating what am I getting from this and how will it all play out. I do my service, but at the same time, how does that affect my situation? Because the art in devotional service is to bring your own personal desires together with the service of the Lord. Brilliant. That, find our niche somewhere, somehow. But a great devotee, a great personality, is completely selfless. Completely selfless. We see that Maharaj Pariksit was still young when he was cursed by that Brahmin boy, Sringi. And at that time, he just renounced everything. Not like, oh, what calamity has come upon us. What calamity upon my family. And the whole poem or song and dance that could go with that. Right? That would be a drama. He did not consider anything. He went to the bank of the Ganga, Yamuna. He sat down and he fasted. He simply fasted and just prepared to leave facing the north. And sages assembled. And basically he asked, what is the duty of a man who is about to die? And then we see that finally Sukadev appears, and then Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken. Now, on a personal level, it was a very difficult thing. His life had just been destroyed. It didn't even look good in terms of the government, right? Because he was protecting the earth and all its conditions, and now suddenly that was interrupted. So one could say this was a very unfortunate thing. But he just accepted it, seeing that now what can I do? These are overpowering circumstances. It's beyond my control. There's nothing I can do. The word of a Brahmana cannot go in vain. So I must simply submit, accept, and actually follow the plan of the Lord. Forget my own plans. Oh, I had many plans, many, because I was still young. So I was thinking about many things I would do with the kingdom, how I could engage people in various ways to make spiritual advancement as a king. Certainly. He had a vision, not just a blind leader sitting on the throne and shooting from the hip. No, he had a vision. It was quite clear to him what he wanted to achieve, and all that destroyed in a moment. But then it comes out that the Lord had a greater plan, because now Maharaj Pariksit became the cause of the Bhagavatam to be spoken, which was an even greater goal than to administrate the entire earth and protect the principles of Dharma. What could be bigger than, like, you know, you're the world government, and that the fate of the world is in your hands? I mean, you feel the weight of all that. That's a big thing. But that was insignificant in comparison to the Bhagavatam that is spoken, because the Bhagavatam is timeless transcendental knowledge and was not only benefiting the world during the life of Maharaj Pariksit, but is still benefiting us today after so many thousands of years. And yet, it is not over. More and more people will be benefited by this Bhagavatam, because it is the Bhagavatam. It is the Bhagavatam that remains after Krishna leaves the planet. Krishne swadamo pagati dharma gyanadibhi saha kalo nastadrisam esa purana ko tunuditaha. When Krishna leaves this planet, dharma and gyan also leave. So religious principles and transcendental knowledge, they also leave this world. But then in the darkness of this age of Kali, it is this Purana that lights up everything like the sun. Oh yes, brilliant as the sun, was one of the early ISKCON movies, and something highlighted by Prabhupada, yes, brilliant as the sun, this Bhagavatam. It lights up everything. And all these great Mahajans, all these great personalities, they are there in our life. Someone nicely in the room where I stayed opened up the Krishna art book, and it was about the picture of Sudama, and then the capture just next to the picture explained that when Sudama came and met Krishna, that Krishna immediately stood up, and then Krishna immediately embraced Sudama. And when Krishna embraced Sudama, then ecstatic symptoms manifested in the body of Krishna. You thought I would say Sudama, but no, in the body of Krishna. And Krishna was crying tears. And it was so nice, right? You think, oh, how nice. How nice is Krishna, who is so deep as a personality. Not just a shallow person, cold and no heart. No, Krishna is deeply involved with his devotees. Sadavo hridaya mayam sadavo hridayam tvaham mat anyate na janati naham tebhya managapi. That the Lord is always in the heart of his devotee, and the devotee is always in the heart of the Lord. So both are always thinking of one another. The Lord is always thinking of his devotee. Stated in Nectar of Devotion, Krishna says, when I think of Draupadi and how she just, was being threatened to be publicly disrobed, and how she first held on to her sari, but then threw her hands in the air and just called out, Hey Govinda, completely relying on Krishna, understanding that there was nothing she could do with her own strength, understanding that now nothing could save her, only Krishna could save her. So, and then Krishna did and supplied that unlimited length of sari. All these things we remember. And all these things are showing the very same. Devotees who are just fully relying on Krishna, fully turning to Krishna. And in this way, the Bhagavatam is calling us to fully rely on Krishna and to just give up any material obstacle. I mean, and look how Srila Prabhupada is writing it, I mean, Prahlad Maharaj was an authority in the devotional service of the Lord because he had his father killed. Did a contract job on his father. Had his father killed. I mean, what is this? Okay. the dark and murky things behind the Bhagavatam. Prahlad, did his father in, actually. There was a Holmes found out about it, Anyway. Prabhupada in another lecture says, he says that, yes, and then Lord Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakasipu, the father of Prahlad. And he stood there with a garland to offer it to the killer of his father. So these things are amazing, so transcendental. So much showing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes before all. That is a fact. Oh yes, in Indian culture, which is based on Vedic culture. Prabhupada, I make a distinction because Prabhupada said that Vedic culture is now dead, he said. Vedic culture is dead. So whatever Indian culture is, it's not Vedic culture, it's the remnant of Vedic culture. that is left over. And then Prabhupada said, but even the remnant is still valuable because, just like an elephant, he says, an elephant when alive is valuable, but even when dead, elephant is still valuable. Taking all the bones and ivory and all this. So, in this way, the Vedic culture, even the remnants of Vedic culture, are valuable. So within that, the emphasis is placed on taking care of his parents. That's a big thing. The parents, take care of the parents. Right? I mean, it's not everywhere like that. See you later, old man. It is kind of, respect is to be given to the parents and to the elders. And Krishna and Arjuna in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in his discussion with Krishna is bringing up these arguments. The family tradition has to be maintained, and the elders, they are meant to maintain the family tradition. And if the elders are not there, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta mentions that. He says, the youth has the license to sometimes break the rules. Not from, go for it, you got the license now, but more from, it can happen in youth. Therefore, without elders, society is destined to go astray. That is the point. So therefore, there has to be a culture where elders are playing a major role. Of course, you know, such a culture cannot be dictated. Such a culture cannot be brought into existence simply by saying, and it must be so. You must respect your elders. Somehow or other, the elders must also conquer. Must also conquer to bring the youth to the point that they naturally respect them. Then it really works. Because nothing works if it's externally imposed. It has to be from the heart. That's why Indian culture is not Vedic culture, because all externally imposed, and therefore people say, why do we have to do all this ritual? You cannot ask that question. That's very bad. But why? No, you cannot ask. This is tradition. Yes. Okay, but could we please know why? So this is a big, and then Srila Prabhupada comes in. And he explains why. And suddenly it all starts to make sense. He explains exactly why every aspect of Vedic culture. And he doesn't just present it on his own understanding and logic. No, on the basis of Bhagavatam. Yes, because the purpose of this world is meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord. And that will give the greatest satisfaction to everyone. Prabhupada is explaining that. And that is very different from the worldview of many other traditions. There is one holy book which indicates that this world was given by man to enjoy. The Lord gave man supreme dominion over this world, and now enjoy. When I'm going today to America, and then when I come to the U.S., you know, I get drilled and I get questions. Well, what do you want? Why are you here? Where are you going? And all these things. And you know, and then, okay. And then finally, I got cleared by the immigration officer, and he turns around in his hands, and he says, enjoy. You know, it's like I'm giving you America. Now, enjoy. Okay, like, okay, thanks. Yeah, that's not the purpose. That's not the purpose of America. That's not the purpose of this world. That's not the purpose of this planet. That's not the purpose of the whole universe. It's not a place where we are meant to enjoy. If you think that this world's for that, you're dreaming. Wake up. Wake up. It's not only. Yes, there's some enjoyment. But the goal is simply to serve Krishna. And that is Bhagavatam. And that is so nice. Because when the purpose is to enjoy, then selfishness comes to the foreground, and then everyone is cutthroat, and then everyone is in competition with everyone, and then everyone, like, I have my story. I was on the plane, where else, and where the last person is boarding, and there's an empty seat next to mine, whole plane full. Comes down the aisle, an African man with a big golden chain, the kind of chains that drug dealers wear, and I know because I'm from Amsterdam. So, what can I say? So, as I saw him, he looked Nigerian. We actually have many Nigerians in Amsterdam, Colombians, and so on. Anyway, so he came down the aisle and he sat down next to me, and he had a book, The Biography of Pablo Escobar. So it confirmed my suspicions. I said, "How are you? Are you from Nigeria?" He said, "How did you know?" Anyway, we were friends, a nice man. Then somewhere on the flight, he pulls out this magazine. And there is like the center spread of the magazine is like columns and pictures at the top of heads of state. And in each column, it said how much each head of state had stolen. Now, you know, whether it was true or not, the magazine said that Suharto stole $39 billion. $39 billion, that's what the magazine said. So by then, you know, I was looking at the magazine, and he's, you know, $39 billion. And he goes, $39 billion, $39 billion. He stole $39 billion. You couldn't spend it if you wanted to. $39 billion. You couldn't spend it if you wanted to. And guess what? What I was saying when I was getting off that plane, I was walking off that plane saying, $39 billion, $39 billion. You couldn't spend it if you wanted to. Right? It is a fact. So how inconceivably selfish people can become. Right? And how unfortunate. When transcendental knowledge is lost, then that's all that's there. Enjoy. And then it's about our enjoyment, and it's never enough. That's the nature of enjoyment. So keep on collecting the billions. You know, and 39 billion, I mean, you know, I have only one problem. 39 billion is not enough. I need a few more billions. Yes. So in this way, it's never enough. Never. No matter what we have, it will never be enough. Never. But without transcendental knowledge, all that is lost. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada came across the Atlantic at advanced age with great difficulty carrying Srimad Bhagavatam, and here it is, and came into our life, and that changes everything. And Prabhupada said he wanted Srimad Bhagavatam in every house on the planet. I mean, Prabhupada, you know, isn't that a little difficult? No, it may be difficult, but still it needs to be done. But, you know, not everyone will buy a full set, right? Is that realistic? Oh, book distributors, will everyone take a full set? Well, they have to. They have to. There's no other option. There's no other option. They need it in their house. And not only to stand on the shelf still in the plastic wrapper. No, actually with pages that have been turned and read and like live with the Bhagavatam. Because that's the only way to live. Without the Bhagavatam, we can't live. We can't live. Without the Bhagavatam, we are like, simply like ghosts, disconnected from reality. Without the Bhagavatam, it's like ghost-like life. We cannot have happiness. A ghost can never be happy. You know, if you see something, the happy ghost, know that it's a lie. There are no happy ghosts. And without the Bhagavatam, we are ghosts. As simple as that. Yeah. Of course, you know, as devotees, some are already for 12 years in the second chapter of the first canto. Now, it could be, right? It could be that you're reading it again and again every day, but I suspect that that might not be the case. So let us carve out some time. Let us carve out some time to associate with these personalities, to associate with Prahlad Maharaj. When was the last time we actually associated with Prahlad Maharaj? When was the last time? The last time? That we went right there with Bali Maharaj and saw the whole scene of Sukracharya giving his crooked logic. When was the last time we were there? When was the last time we contemplated on Sukadev Goswami, who is the one who didn't see anything of value in this world? Sukadev Goswami had no interest to exploit anything in this world. Aparemitastvanyam prakritim vidime param jivabhuta mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. The living being is exploiting the material energy. Yes, we all do it. We all do it. But not Sukadev. So Sukadev stands there as a model to us, as an example. Can we be a little bit like Sukadev? Even 1%? That would be wonderful. Let us just read about Sukadev, remember Sukadev, and just walk through London. Sukadev, 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 Sukadev. Yes. Prahlad, you know, when you see Hiranyakasipu walking down the street. And go, like, you know, Prahlad, la, da, la, he, he. What do we care about all these personalities? We have shelter in the Bhagavatam. Because these Mahajans, they showed it. They showed it, that it works, that it can be done. Prabhupada showed that it works, that it can be done, that Krishna will do miracles. Right? If we rely on him, Krishna will do miracles. That's Prabhupada's life. Miracles happen. This Bhaktivedanta Manor is a miracle. Right? I mean, considering that Prabhupada didn't have a cracker, right? Nothing, no money, right? And here it is, you know. And here he was sitting like a regal regal lord, right? Coming from the country that had been subjugated by England. And there Prabhupada was sitting like, you know, like a stately lord. And Prabhupada had white servants. Yes, yes, he would say that sometimes. Yes. How nice. And yes, we're happy to be Prabhupada's white servants. You know, whatever color we are, can we please do a little service? Yeah. You know, yes, anything you say. This morning I listened to a lecture. Prabhupada said, yes, they come from such wealthy backgrounds. Now they're sleeping on the floor. They're sleeping on the floor. They're happy. Of course, now floor has turned into bunk beds or whatever. That's okay. So any questions, any comments?